We are very happy to have you back here at your home, your musical home. Yes. But it feels a little bit like an exile for the moment, no?
Not for me, actually. I think the joy of being able to make music and at the same time the happiness that I felt coming from the audience to be able to be at a concert, to hear the music, this was so special and so unique. You know, when you're very, very thirsty, having one drink of water is so good. Versus if you're not thirsty, you know.
So you're very happy to be back for making concerts. Some words about how was the rehearsal under Corona conditions?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was something that we had to get used to, of course. It was a little bit strange at first. But musicians, this is what we do all the time. We adjust. You know, when we are on tour, we have to adjust to a different concert hall. When we rehearse in a different space, you know, we regularly have at least three spaces that we rehearse and play in. Our everyday job is to find the context that we exist in. This is the definition of what a musician does. And this is just a very different context.
But could you give some example? What was different for you?
What's different is, and what was difficult, is that everything is a lot more clear. So,
why?
Because there are fewer musicians. So the approach to the music had to change. When you have 100 other people on stage, then you try to find your place in the sound. When you have only 30 musicians on stage or 25, you have to be the sound. So one of the biggest challenges that I've talked to the orchestra a lot this week was each one in the orchestra had to play like it was only them and me working. So they couldn't collaborate with others because you don't have time to hear. You know, like everyone has to play at the same time. Usually in an orchestra, they listen to each other. In a setting like this, they don't have time. So they all have to play with me as if I conduct only one person individually.
So it means you are more in tension because you are the focus of all.
I have more responsibility of making sure that everything happens at the right time, yes.
To ask about the wind instruments, because in Schubert there will be one flute, two oboes, two fagots, two horns. What about them? Because they are counting like the spreaders during the pandemic. How do you put them?
You know, they have special things. The flute, for example, feels like it's in a cage, in a plexiglass cage. It is on stage because, you know, with all these shields to protect so that everything goes up.
But it's also Michel Faust.
Exactly. But and the challenge with that is, you know, he doesn't hear anything. Everything he hears is only himself. So it's very hard to tell what the balance is. So this is a very difficult job. And, you know, the French horns have special things behind them to stop the spread, what comes out of their bell. The bassoons have things on top, you know, and the oboes, they have, it's like a mask on the instrument. People are trying everything, but I love the resilient spirit, you know, of the artist that will find something. You know, if you're in the desert and you're an artist, you're going to make a sandcastle, right? I mean, so it's the same now.
So, you know,
we find what's necessary and then we do it and then we adjust to it.
You made your career in the USA and I think you are still connected to many orchestras or at least you are in contact with them. I don't know, have you been in recent times in the USA? What is the situation there for orchestras?
Well, the last concert that I conducted was actually in the US. This was in beginning of March. And I was there and then I came here. I haven't been there since, but I do know I have many friends and I have many orchestras that I collaborate with. I think for them, they are, I would say, at least 2 to 3 months behind where Germany is in terms of planning and trying to reopen and to bring musicians back on stage. And right now, at the moment, it seems like every ensemble is posting new decisions online to create an all-virtual season. They don't even have live concerts. It will be just productions that they do, and then they try to sell it as a concert. You know, the disadvantage of America is that they never adopted the system of presenting live concerts or to stream live concerts. There were just a few orchestras that did this. But now, this is what people are doing. For us, as part of a media company, this is our mission. We've been doing this our entire life, stream concerts, right? Mm-hmm. But most orchestras in America, they don't do this because it's not a good source of income.
So how do feel the musicians in the US?
I think everyone is desperate. I think, to put it simply, I think they're all in panic and with desperation are looking at what is coming next.
So last question about the repertoire I will hear happily. A Schubert very accessible and a brilliant Mozart. Why did you choose this works?
Well, for me, programming is always philosophical in nature, more than just artistic. So I choose music, and I chose this music actually connecting the two concerts in some ways together because I wanted to take the audience on a journey that ends with hope. I wanted to remind people what it is that art and culture brings in our life. And art and culture, music in particular, speaks to the essence of our soul, to the essence of what we discover inside of us. And for me, a concert is a spiritual journey. It's not just an artistic exercise. It's a spiritual journey, and wanting people to finish this spiritual journey with the optimism and the hope that Schubert brings. Schubert actually takes a human being, even in the symphony, takes it through many, many deep emotions, but it finishes with, in some ways, with an embracing of the idea that being optimistic is not necessarily because you are ignorant. No, in spite of all the troubles of the world, you have the courage to choose optimism. And I think this is an important message, especially right now.
And also with the A major of Mozart, did you choose this concert or was it a choice from Igor Levit?
This was a choice from Igor because we were scheduled to do the Busoni Piano Concerto, which is a masterpiece. You know, I had been looking forward to this for like 2 years now. And we will do it. We will do it. We're determined.
Promised.
With him, yeah. And it was actually his choice. I told him, I said, we will do Schubert 5. And I said, what would you like to do? And he said, I think the Mozart number 12 would be the best choice for this. He has a very special relationship with the piece as well. I know that he's not very well known for playing Mozart concerti, but I was so surprised at the rehearsals because it is incredibly delicate, it is incredibly poetic, his playing. And my first initial instinct was, okay, when do we do the next Mozart? Because it was so, so beautiful. And I think it really inspired the orchestra as well. So it reminded me of the way that a very young Radu Lupu used to play Mozart.
It's one of the first concertos he wrote for Vienna, so it's full of inspiration about conquering the scene. Yeah. Very, very last question. You promised a lot of new presentation forms you would do in your first season, second season. Everything came different, we know. But what do you think, which new presentations you will be able under these conditions to make the next seasons? What do you think?
Well, we're looking at everything, and with programming right now, the best thing that we can do is we can look at 3 separate seasons, all in 1 year. So we have plans A, B, and C for next season. And we have this in place so that we can plug in whatever is possible. So we have a season that's planned with, you know, 80-minute concerts with a larger audience and a larger orchestra, but we're not allowed to have intermission. So it's 80 minutes of music, so then we have to look at what works. Then we have with less audience, less orchestra, and we do 2 one-hour concerts with 2-hour break, like today. And then we look at the plan where we can actually keep everything. In Austria, they are opening much, much sooner everything. So, you know, they can have audiences, almost full house audiences, no distancing. And for me, the reason why plan A, which is what we originally have scheduled so we don't lose anything, for me, plan A is dependent on a miracle. But without hoping for a miracle, then humanity is lost. We always hope for the miracle. Mm-hmm. And it's not, just like the Schubert, it's not because we're ignorant. I mean, in spite of knowing the difficulties, we have the courage to be optimistic. And I think this courage to be optimistic is an essential human trait for survival.
Thank you so much. And when will you give me the first interview in German?
No. Morgan? No.
Or in French?
I think in French it'll be faster.
Really? You are learning?
Well, I studied French in school, so for 7 years.
Yeah, you learn it in Romania?
In Romania, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, French and English were mandatory in school.
Okay.
Because Romania always had such a close relationship to France.
And also to Germany. The first Romanian queen was a German.
Yes, absolutely.
Coming from the Rhine.
Absolutely. But with French.
Carmen da Silva.
Carmen da Silva, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But with France, It's interesting because Romanians have this unbelievable awe and respect for Germany. I really mean that. Like, whenever Romanians refer to something that is done perfect and something that is done right, they look at Germany. They give Germany examples. Yes. But when they talk about their blood brothers, they talk about France. It's interesting. I think they look at Germany with respect and with awe. You know, like, I really mean that. And to France, they look as, okay, we're the same. And there was a lot of exchange, a lot of cultural exchange and technological exchange and you know, even political exchange between France and Romania. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of scientists, a lot of musicians from Romania, they all ended up in Paris. So they came through...
Yeah, I think Ceaușescu, he started.
Perfect example. So they came through Vienna first, and then they went to Paris. You know, this was the route. Yeah. In the same way that Russia was very closely linked to France as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the Russian bourgeoisie, you know, was everything French.